Yes.
Lord Maharaj, today we have a question from Navin Krishna Prabhu from Russia. Mm-hmm. He just recently joined our broadcast and he sent a question about Mridanga. Playing Mridanga is a service to Lord Nityananda. But I've heard that in the days of Sarasvati Thakur, Mridanga was a printing press.
Was what?
A printing press.
Oh.
And in our times, Mridanga is internet. So does that mean that preaching in the internet is a greater service to Nityananda than play on Mridanga in the temple?
Srila Guru Maharaj tells us that the kol and kartals, the Mridanga and the kartals, part of the eternal paraphernalia of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by extension, that means Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhara Dvaita Srivas, etc. Nitai Gaur Gadadhara Dvaita Srivas. So, we are approaching the Rath Yatra. Just prior to that pastime being expressed in full, there's one pastime, I think Prabhupada called the Bera Nam Kirtan pastime. And there, in the Rath Yatra and elsewhere, you will hear that when the groups are there, they're actually called sampradayas, the groups, and there's like a principal singer in each group, a principal dancer, two mridanga players, many kartal players, Nityananda dancing in one party, Advaita in another, Vrakeshwara Pandit, Achyutananda, and it we'll read that soon. But when we hear these descriptions, very often it's accompanied by a description saying that this kirtan resounded throughout the three worlds. So there's an objective point of view where you hear there were this many numbers of mridanga players and singers and dancers that, you know, you're in a sense quantifying them. This many groups and they were positioned in this way. But we're told that kirtan is going, resounding throughout the universe, or sometimes it will say tribhuvan, the three worlds. Three worlds, sometimes described in terms of the objective universe, Bhurbhuvasva, but other times saying, you know, into the Vaikuntha world and into the upper regions of the spiritual world. In a sense, it depends on the capacity of the participants and the hearers, just as when Mahaprabhu is before Jagannath in the mood of Srimati Radharani and singing certain songs, not everyone can understand why he is singing a particular song in a particular way. What is there? Like the Yakkumara Hara Sloka. And Rupa Goswami is revealing in a parallel sloka what divine emotions and heart is being expressed there. Srup Damodar knows that, Rupa Goswami, other devotees. Not everyone may be tuned in on that particular level. It's indicated there. But Kaviraj Goswami, who's the medium of expression of Chaitanya Charitamritam, certainly he can appreciate all these things. And he's saying this sound vibration. It's so fine. It's transcending the limitations of mundane consideration. Just as sometimes we'll hear one place in the Gita, Krishna is saying, you know, what is the material world? Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. Temporary, miserable, unhappy place. And then another place, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur was saying, what is it? Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. The whole universe is full of ecstatic joy. Well, which is it? Is it a temporary, miserable place or a place that's full of never-ending ecstatic joy? It depends on the perspective. For Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, what is he saying? Vanchitosmi na sanjaya. Vishvam purna, Vishvam gorva se magnam, sparshopi mamanabhavat. Mahaprabhu has come, panchatattva nindantam pulukot korena bikasam nipa prasunachtavim, prodikritva bujadvayam hari hari eat uchai vidantam muhu. Nrittantam dutamasru nirjara chaye sinchantam urvitalam gayantam nija parasadaya parivritam sri gaura chandram nama. He's describing Mahaprabhu with the Panchatattva. They're singing, dancing, tears are streaming from his eyes, making the ground moist and like water, cascading waterfall current. Cascading current, waterfall like tears streaming down his eyes. Well, it's Prabodhananda, Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara Nagarabhara Nittam Nijer Namabhi. Taking his own name, the supreme positive enveloped in the heart and halo of the supreme negative, relishing his own name from her perspective. As Srila Guru Maharaj reminds us, he says, what is the voltage and the current of the Krishna Nam of Sri Radhika? If we say, assert on the basis of what Rupa Goswami has described, Sevan Mukhe Hijjavaro Shayam Evasportada, the Seva current, like the electric current that gives illumination. It's the current of seva that gives illumination. There is no greater servitor than Srimati Radharani in terms of self-giving, self-sacrifice. She's the better half of the sweet absolute. When she's taking the name of Krishna, referencing Guru Maharaj, what is the voltage of that current? We see the electricians sometimes, they put lightning bolts on the box, you know, and it says like, danger, high voltage. They're telling you only the most qualified, experienced person can handle this sort of current. They're not saying that no one can, but they're saying only the most qualified, highly skilled can dare open this box and deal with this current. So in a similar way, the current of her Krishna Nam, who can handle that? So when Krishna embraces her position, Radha Baba Subalita Nomi Krishna Swarupam, he's becoming transformed. There's visible ecstatic transformation on his divine form. Sometimes separating the joints by this much, the ecstasy going in a particular direction. Going in the opposite direction, the limbs entering the body like a tortoise. And as Guru Maharaj tells us, what has been observed in Mahaprabhu, that has not been expressed anywhere at any time. This degree, magnitude of devotional intensity of heart. So let us first understand what is that the current of their kirtan. We're not talking about when those mridangas sound and they sing these, that what we might conceive of any conventional sense. Again, everything is based on consciousness. Right? This is the objective realm. Right? But even that, we told the other day, objective correlative, then we suggest the subjective correlative. What's going on in the subjective world and the current? As again, Guru Maharaj is saying, when Mahaprabhu goes before Jagannath, Ganga-like streams of tears pouring from his eyes, and he's seeing Shyamasundar Krishna. And Guru Maharaj said, and us? And he's speaking lightly, but I think truly he said, and from our perspective, an awkward-looking figure. Right? We're in the group of things like, this is the deity. We're trying to understand all these things on the basis of what we've heard from Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. We bow our heads and present ourselves. But what is our capacity for seeing? Whereas Mahaprabhu is seeing in the mood of Radharani, seeing Shyamasundar Krishna and experiencing the anguish of the deepest sort of separation that is expressed after 100 years of separation by Srimati Radharani and Brajagopis, those who cannot tolerate the blinking of an eye, that moment of separation, 100 years. Atati yad bhavana nikananam, trutir yugayate tamapashyatam, kuntila kundalam srimukam chite, yada udrikshasam pakshmakridrasam. The goat, so much so. What is the intensity of the Brajagopis? They're cursing Brahma for making eyes that blink. That's an intolerable amount of separation from the beauty of Krishna. The blink of an eye. It is beautiful poetry expressed by Vedavyas and the Gopi Gita. But it is not mere poetry, it's reality. It's insight into the hearts of the greatest devotees and the supreme reality. Right? And the uppermost region of the spiritual world. From their hearts, Gopi Bhav, as we're told by Srinivasa Charge about the Goswami, Gopi Bhavit Bhav Samrita Dilahari Kolola Magnu Muhur, Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhav Samrita Dilahari. Yeah. They're drowning in waves in the ocean of Gopi Bhav. So when such quality of devotees, of whom there are no heart, when they come together and have a kirtan, what is that? What is our capacity to hear that, to appreciate that? If we cannot see the deity substantially, then same thing applies to every other sense. Then it means our hearing is not substantial either. Something's there, and what is there is valuable. But to degree. So we should not think their kirtan is like, we come together under the order of Guru and Vaishnava, and we also engage in some kirtan and think like, oh, like that they're doing. We shouldn't think like that. Read those descriptions in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamritam. And some other very deep impression will come to your heart about what is the kirtan of Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, the Panja Tattva, and all the great devotees assembled there. And there's no limits on the reach of that kirtan. It's transcending the limitations of objective sound and such a fine vibration. It's penetrating the layers of the universe into the Vaikuntha world, the upper recesses of the spiritual world. So let us bow our heads first and understand what is their kirtan. And to this day, under the order of Guru and Vaishnav, we are trying to remain true to that. We also do the kirtan happily. But Srila Saraswati Thakur, he was not, his mission was not to gather a group of practitioners. I will convert a certain number of people to spiritual practices and then my mission is fulfilled. That's a good thing. But that was not his mission. We know, we've heard when someone said, are you trying, like, then fulfilling Mahaprabhu's prediction? You know, Pritibite Ache Jatanagaradigram Sarvatra Pachar Hoibe Marnam. It is your intention to establish a temple in every town and village in the world? He said, no, my intention is to establish a temple in the heart of every man, woman, and child. When they wanted to construct the flagship center of the Gaudiya Math, the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, and he said he expressed his wish that they would collect a lakh of rupees, which in the modern world would be like, you know, like $10 million or something, but in that context, a lakh means 100,000, but you have to factor in the time, circumstance, difference, and economics and all that. But that's what he said. Then one man, they used to call him JBD, you know, Jagabandhu Das Adhikari. Jagabandhu gave 3 lakhs. So all the devotees were ecstatic and they went to Saraswati Thakur and they said, Prabhupada, you asked for 1 lakh, but Jagabandhu, he gave 3. You know, like 3 times what you asked for. And everyone was so happy. Now we have what we need to construct, establish that mat. And Saraswati Thakur said, that is very good for Jagabandhu, Prabhu. He's saying, but that does not satisfy my wish. He said, because I wanted that Sukriti would be extended to 100,000 people, or you could say 1 million people to get the idea, that each one of them would give something for this temple. But here, one man, Jagabandhu Prabhu, he came forward and gave more than was necessary, but then Jagabandhu Prabhu, he's getting all of that credit. So, but I wanted 100,000 people, 1 million people to participate in this. So what I asked for has not been fulfilled. So Saraswati Thakur, as Guru Maharaj said, his thinking was very revolutionary. So whatever anyone conceived up to the point of coming in connection with him, not only once did it demand that you reconceive Krishna consciousness, but continually throughout you had to reconceive. That shows a culture of Krishna consciousness that is vital, that's alive, that's living. Something that is alive and living shows growth and development. It's not in a static position. So for the Krishna conscious person, it's not that like, oh, I was initiated so many years ago. That's a fine and wonderful thing. But every day, the demands reconceptualization, to rededicate, to give something every day. Paramananda Prabhu and I were discussing this earlier in the confessional poetry of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And as a reminder, on our behalf, he's expressing these things, not that we should think that he is like that. But Saraswati Thakur advised this song, Amara Jivana, like my life, where he's admitting to so many flaws, faults. There's no sinful activity I've not committed thousands of times. You know, the schadenfreude of when I see other people suffering, that makes me happy. And when they're happy, it makes me sad. And he goes on and on. And the arrogance of scholarship. You know, he's describing all the different flaws that one might have in the world as if they're his own. But then he's saying, and now when my senses are no longer viable, they're useless. Now I'm coming at you shamelessly, like surrendering, when I've lost all prospect in the mundane world. But he's saying these kind of things. And what does Guru Maharaj say? Saraswati Thakur said, every morning when you get up, you should beat your mind with a stick and then start singing this song. And Guru Maharaj said also, and you should, what should be the mood of the devotee? Say, what have I done? Another day, you know. Wasted. Please, Lord, tomorrow let me do something, some seva, something substantial in service to Guru and Vaishnav. That's the mood of the devotees. They're never, they abhor complacency. They're vigilant to not become complacent. Right. Understanding the demands of surrender. And that it's something vital, dynamic, a growing, developing thing. It's not something you did so many years ago. You took a step so many years ago, a first step or a step in the right direction or seeking shelter at the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnav. Wonderful. And then the demands of surrender are not less, they're increased for the aspiring servitors. So, Srila Saraswati Thakur was not, his mission was not to, convert a group of neophyte practitioners. Like when Babaji Maharaj was in the jungle of Baliati, in modern-day Bangladesh, taking one lakh of Krishna Nam every day. And Srila Guru Maharaj was the Mott manager in Delhi, of the Delhi Mott, Gaudiya Mott. And some would be of the opinion, that they'll, and you'll hear them say sometimes, they say, well, if you can't chant a lakh every day, I mean 64 around, then you can, you know, help in the kitchen or sweep the floor, but, you know, this is the desire thing. You know, this very thing. But for those who cannot do, then some other type of busy work is given to them. So Guru Maharaj thought, Babaji Maharaj, my friend, I need some help in doing the seva and the Delhi Mat, but maybe he's doing the desired thing, and I would be taking him away from that and engaging him in some sort of lesser activity. So he wrote a letter to Saraswati Thakur asking. And Saraswati Thakur responded by saying, and should preface these remarks by saying, remember, before he began the missionary work of Sri Gaudiya Mat, Saraswati Thakur was nirjan bhajan, in isolation, chanting 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam every day, but relatively inaccessible. He did not continue with that after beginning the missionary activities of Gaudiya Mat. So that person said to Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur, he said, if you can engage him in service in the Delhi Mat, you'll be his real friend and you'll really be doing him a favor. He said, because I don't recognize that, he said, counting beads. He didn't even call it taking Krishna Nama. He said, counting beads. In the jungle of Baliyati is Krishnanushilana, favorable to the culture of Krishna consciousness. So take him away from that, engage him in service in the mat, you'll be his real friend, you'll really be doing him a favor. Right? So that's Saraswati Thakur. His views on many different practices, activities, what is the substance of the mission, the substance of Mahaprabhu's teachings, and how they should be expressed in the modern world, were sometimes surprising, shocking, revolutionary in concept. So he said, and we should consider these things very carefully, he's saying, and they had in the Gaudiya Math, the Nagarsan Kirtan, the big Kirtan party through the town. And he said, when we do that, the people here, the Kirtan and the Mridangas, remember, it's according to what is their capacity. Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva, it's penetrating the subtle planes of existence, going into the higher court. He's saying, what are the people here? For one or two blocks, they hear, and you hear coming, boom, 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 the kirtan coming out, and some people hear, and it catches their attention, and they come, and they smile, or they even join in, and it's a wonderful thing. He's saying, but that's the reach of that mridanga in this plane. He said, but the printing press, he described as a brihat mridanga. And we've also seen when we had our printing, when you hear it going like, it would be making these sounds, and you could imagine that it was a mridanga. And it's making these sounds, and the papers are coming out with Krishna conception on them, Krishna katha. And then they're being put in the book form, and then those books are being distributed. And the point being, they go beyond the range of the mridanga. They have greater reach. How much did he, and remember, he also said, kirtan means a fight. So now we're saying, as connotation increases, denotation decreases. He's increasing the connotation and saying, not that you would just sit there and you're taking Krishna Nam. That's like a man who's cooking for himself. Right, but if you go in the kitchen and you make in huge pot, then you're distributing this to so many others, and you're also getting something. But that's even better, right? Than just cooking something and you're taking that. Right? So, and by this we don't mean don't include the higher Vaishnavas, the Siddha Mahatmas of the Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharajas of the world, the Jagannath Das Babajis, and they're not practitioners who are chanting a certain number of rounds every day and in a process of ascension, going higher. They've descended from that plane. Their Krishna Nam, their bhajan is direct service. They're serving in the upper world. We may, from an external point of view, who knows what we will hear. But what's going on internally in them, it's not like they're neophyte practitioners. Right? They're not. They're directly engaged in service in the upper world. So Saraswati Thakur, he would say, kirtan means a fight. The Krishna conception against the mayic misconception. He realized that the modern world was under the influence of Western civilization, as it still is. And so when they mentioned that to him, he'd say, Western civilization, crush it. Right? He wasn't content, like, oh, we'll stay in India and we'll be taking, you know, Harinam and observing festivals, which is a wonderful... No, he had a plan. Like, Western civilization, crush it. Like when the Europeans were surprised when they asked Mahatma Gandhi, who was a highly educated man, Gandhiji, what do you think about Western civilization? And he replied, I think it would be a good idea. You understand? He means it's uncivilized. So they go, what do you think about Western civilization? I think it would be a good idea. And their idea is, no, European civilization is a higher, superior thing, and it's the white man's burden to spread this to the heathens of Asia. And they're saying, hey, we've had civilization here for tens of thousands of years, and you're the newcomers with your ideas. So anyway, Saraswati Thakur, that was his idea. An army of preachers, you know, promoting Krishna conception and a warlike movement against the Mayic misconception. And he saw what is most valuable, the most valuable weapons or ammunition, books, right, that are full of Krishna conception. Right? And their reach is greater than the mridanga and kartals that we play. So in terms of reach, extent, how many people can be reached? But understanding this principle, oh, and by the way, I like to say, when we presented the Search for Sri Krishna, Reality of the Beautiful, the first book we published for Srila Guru Maharaj, on one page there was a picture of Srila Saraswati Thakur. And on the basis of what's something that Guru Maharaj said, I wrote a caption. Because normally it should say something like, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, founder of Sri Gaudiya Math and its branches, or, you know, or worldwide acharya, or something like that. That would be the so-called legend or caption that you would expect. But let's say that some inspiration descended, and I recall what Guru Maharaj said. So the caption we wrote, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, unquote. He declared totalitarian war against Maya, illusion, including all other existing conceptions of religion. That was the caption. So when it came time, Gaur Purnima, 1983, we're presenting this book to Srila Guru Maharaj, and we're going page by page. He's sitting there with Srila Guru and listening, and I will read something from the book, and he'll actually finish it. The next sentence, he'll finish it. Say either the exact thing or a similar thing. And it was, I realized, he is the book is him. And each picture, I'd say, it says this, and Guru Maharaj is hearing and smiling, is very happy to receive this. And he pointed out that it was, we presented to him 50 years to the moment, not just to the day, to the moment, because we presented when the moon had risen. 50 years to the moment, earlier they'd presented Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Guru Maharaj took this as significant as well. And some divine, auspicious indication. Sulakshana. So then came that picture. And then I thought, well, now I'm going to find out, you know, did I get a little carried away, or, you know. So, what is that, you know, picture of Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, oh, you know, and I, and what does it say? And I said, it says, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he declared totalitarian war against Maya, including all other existing conceptions of religion. You know, and then waiting to see what will Guru Maharaj say. And Guru Maharaj started smiling and he said, if you didn't write anything else but this, our Guru Maharaj would be properly represented there. And I went like, but he was so happy to hear that. Like, yes, that's our Guru Maharaj. You could have said the stereotypical thing, but by saying this, now you've really represented him. You've given people an impression of his intensity and what his intention was, what his movement is. So, when we consider these things, and statements from him such as after they had the temple and the marble floors, the marble altars and walls and all those kind of things, when he saw neophytes fighting over rooms or where they're going to stay or these kind of concerns, he was, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj said, he was disgusted. He said, my Guru Maharaj was disgusted initiating Kanishta Adhikaris or non-preachers. Like, if you think, like, members of an army who aren't willing to fight, what is the point, you know, in being a soldier? Have a gun you're not going to use, skill, you're not going to engage in any battle, but wear the uniform and all, no. But we know, in a military campaign, you need the cook, you need the... Napoleon, what did he say? I'd rather have one well-fed soldier than 5 or 10 half-fed soldiers. There are many things to consider. There are many aspects to a campaign. But it's a campaign. That is the point. It's a fight. Kirtan means a fight. Krishna conception against the Maya misconception. So, if he considered that the printing press was a Brihad Mridanga, then what to speak of the internet? Right. Where, and we see now with the proliferation of smartphones, I don't know the actual figure, you can Google it, but how many people in the world not only are hooked up through technology, but actually have a smartphone? It's either half the world population or more. And only increasing. So everyone has one of these with them, or some digital device. So why do we call this theistic media studio? Because Guru Maharaj suggested for Saraswati Thakur's exhibits, theistic exhibition. That was the term he used. For the dioramas depicting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and different preaching exhibits. Guru Maharaj suggested theistic exhibition, and Saraswati Thakur accepted that. So in a similar mood, we thought, as a blanket, a broad or general term, theistic media. But we, you know, as connotation increases, denotation decreases. What kind of theism? You know, obviously, Krishna conception. Yeah. But, so, everyone's carrying one of these devices. That means they're accessible. If you can create content, spirit, substantial content, there's already, there are people working round the clock to make it deliverable. We don't have to worry about that. Right? There are the finest minds working at this moment, how to improve this technology in terms of the experience and the delivery mechanisms. And it's there for the taking, right? Like Prabhupada talked about ajagaravritti, the way of the python. He sits there and the food walks into his mouth. And Prabhupada said this once on a walk in a park in Caracas in Venezuela. He's saying, they made this park for their purpose, but and he's walking through with the divine, but we're enjoying it also. We're going for our walk, and he was like being light about it, but making a point. So they've made this. Well, if you ask them, they'll say, well, we want to educate everyone. We want to make, our mission is to make all the knowledge of the world available to everyone at all times for free. We may also sell ads. Someone's got to pay for this noble venture. But so, just not questioning their motives for the moment. Why this is being done, because someone else who might be more cynical might say, well, it's to make a profit. But if you actually, no, we're connecting people, it's all good, we're fine with that. But so it's, we have no excuse. And by the grace of Srila Avadhut Maharaj and his team, we have all this technology at our fingertips, so there's no excuse. But what is the sweet spot, we could say, is that generally what we're expressing could be considered esoteric or not accessible to everyone. It's like spiritually laden, heavy spiritual substance. Then on the other side are delivery mechanisms, right? Theistic media, different types of media where you can deliver this content. So we know on the other side, it's heavy on entertainment, and if any spiritual substance is there at all, it's light. So on the one side, heavy and relatively inaccessible. The other side, light and not substantial. So what are we trying to do is find the sweet spot where you can present in a accessible, sometimes entertaining way, spiritual substance. That's what we're trying to do. And on the basis of what we said, you can see that it's a natural, conceivable, desirable outcome. But just to, these are big words to throw around. Brihat Mridanga, this, that. What will it be? If we see that the world is suffering from a particular type of plague, and someone comes forward and nobly suggests that we should vaccinate as many people as possible, we'll say, that's a very good idea, it's a noble sentiment. Yes, everybody should get vaccinated. But then what will be critical to this being successful is what's the vaccine? What is the quality of the vaccine? What is in there? What are you injecting in everyone? So, can be measured to what degree it's spiritually substantial and subsequently beneficial. So all these things have to be carefully considered. But that's the basic idea. Srila Guru Maharaj, he, in his own words, said he preferred to speak of higher things or more spiritually substantial things in a smaller circle. Because the way things work generally, as we said, as connotation increases, denotation decreases. And the inverse is true. often the greater audience you tried to reach, the quality of the spiritual substance goes down or becomes something less or watered down or what, or more general. So everything has its place. Primary education has its place. Secondary education has its place. They're both necessary. And secondary education without primary education is often inaccessible. Right? You can see in certain courses, like in a college, you go, oh, this looks very interesting. And then they'll say, prerequisite, 1 year of this, 1 year of that, then you can take this course. So both have their value. Anything else?
So this is a question. According with their nature and conception about existence, each living entity is attracted to Krishna through karma, impersonal Brahma, and Bhagavan. Some might say that the head...
Through karma? I mean Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan?
Right.
Okay.
Some might say that the head knowledge is higher than the heart, bhakti. Can you explain your
point of view? Who said that?
This is a question from live stream.
Yes, but when someone asks a question, like just to say, someone said, who said?
Right.
Anyway, obviously, that's not what we say, right? As we often use this expression for the show, even beauty over power. Another thing, Guru Maharaj, there's a sequence of things he said. Beauty over power, substance over form, mercy over justice, and to address this, heart over intellect. So from a spiritual view, the intellect is inferior to heart, not the inverse. Right? We talked in the beginning about Gopi Bhav, means the hearts of the Braja Gopis. But if we examine them and follow them into Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see who were teenage girls in Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna's pastimes, the Braja Gopis, when they're in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. There's Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of all time, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das, Gopabhatta. They're writing books and the highest sort of Sanskrit language and poetry. So in that plane, they're showing themselves as teenage girls. Or as Guru Maharaj said once, in a delightful way, you know, half-civilized, silly jungle girls. That's their posing. But even in the pastimes of Krishna, when they're interacting with Krishna, you see how cleverly they speak and what is their knowledge of scripture. But they might say, oh, we heard some Brahmin say this once, like that person, someone said. So they might say, oh, we heard this somewhere, and they know everything very well, so well that they can take the last syllable of one word, apply it to the next syllable of another word, and change the complete meaning of a sentence. What was apparently a glorification to turn it into some sort of a sweet insult. They're masters of language, of knowledge, all those things. But it's a secondary position. Heart is in the primary position. The Guru Maharaj would say, in Vrindavan, heart is the primary position. So Srimati Radharani, Mahabhav. Another meaning for Bhav is heart. Think about it, Mahabhav. There's no greater heart than the heart of Srimati Radharani. But simultaneously, there's no one more clever than she. She's clever enough to capture Krishna, to capture him, to steal him, to steal his mind, to make him lose his mind. She's that clever, right? And that enchanting and charming. So, but, and Chandravali is considered in the secondary position. When they expand out of Dwarka, out of Vrindavan into Dwarka, a reversal takes place where intellect is in the superior position and heart is secondary. So you have these two competitive queens, Satyabhama, Radharani's expansion, Rukmini, Chandravali. But that is in a, from an analytical point of view, well, as we like to say the way Prabhupada did, you know, perfect, more perfect, most perfect. What is in Vrindavan is most perfect, and their heart is supreme. Yashoda is not a scholar, right? But when there's a volcanic eruption of emotions from her heart, vented by her, everyone said, everyone is upgraded. All the devotees are upgraded by one expression from the heart of Yashoda. But on this point, so many times within Gaudiya Math, Srila Guru Maharaj weighed in on some situation and Saraswati Thakur backed him. So much so at one point he said, Sridhara Sakalam Veti. Sridhar knows everything. He knows everything. Right? So, and we know Guru Maharaj comes from a Bhattacharya Brahmin family. They're traditionally, their family line, they're Acharyas, they're Sanskritians. The women spoke Sanskrit. They can quote verses, slokas. The men compose. So, and as it's been said on many occasions, he knows everything. When he was the lower ranking man on the preaching party, he went with some Maharajas, the collection, and it was the time of Chandi Puja, goddess Chandi, Shakti. And they're reading from the Chandi book, someone, and the Maharaj is telling like, go tell that Babu, like, you know, the head man, like, we're here to see him. They want to collect a donation. And his assistant comes back and says, he will see you when the Chandi reading is finished and not before. And they don't know what to say. And Guru Maharaj says, you tell him that that man who's reading the Chandi recitation, here are the following things that he's doing wrong. It says in the very things that he's reading, this must be done very quickly and briefly. Otherwise, you get a very negative result. And he pointed out three or four things, and also you can't move your head. He pointed out many things, flaws in this performance. And then that man came over, having heard what Guru Maharaj said, he came over and he was stunned by Guru Maharaj's depth of knowledge and wide range of subjects, not just pure Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he ended up giving a big donation to those senior devotees, but he told them, pointing to Guru Maharaj, he said, he knows everything. So then I meet Guru Maharaj, and that person who knows everything, even certified by Saraswati Thakur, he knows everything. And he's telling me, when he heard Saraswati Thakur preaching Jnana Shunya Bhakti, knowledge-free devotion, that's the higher plane. Jnane Prayasamudapasana Manta Eva of Brahma, Brahma Stuti. Stop trying to measure him with your jnana, with your knowledge, with your thinking. The infant, always dwi unguli, that's what we learned from Yashoda. You'll be two fingers too short in this approach. How did she capture Krishna? He saw the flowers falling from her hair, the perspiration on her face as she lovingly tried to bind him. It was the heart of Yashoda, her love and affection that bound the Damodar. So Guru Maharaj So I said to him once, all right, so you, and you say, when you heard Saraswati Thakur preaching Jnana Shunya Bhakti, it was like a hammer on your head. You know, knowledge-free devotion, give this up, and considering his family line and all that. And I said, and now you're preaching the same thing. But I cannot fail to notice or to observe. You know everything. You're the person. I don't know anyone who knows more than you. And you're telling these things about Jnana Shunya Bhakti, knowledge-free devotion, and all that. So, what do you say? And Guru Maharaj was like, for a moment he went, and then he said, he thought from, and he said, when Jnana is serving devotion, then it's in its rightful position. And I went, yes, Maharaj. That's the point. Mukti mukulitanjali mukti mukulitanjali sevatesman dharma artha kama gataya samaya pratiksha bilva mangal karnamritam. Mukti, they're all standing with folded palms ready to serve the devotee. So karma, jnana, these things, when they're in the service of devotion, then they're in their rightful position. But they've been rejected as a means for achieving devotion or the devotional position. The Prabhupada would rail against these bogus interpreters of the Bhagavad Gita, like it was the sloka, what is it? Klesho dikataras tesham avyaktasha. Tashaka Chetasam, they would say, you know, because most people, they're just simple-hearted folks, they can't engage in abstract thinking that's required, and like Gyan and Vedanta and all that. For them, they can like beat on a drum, play some kartal, sing a song or something, because, you know, they can't understand philosophy. Prabhupada would be so upset to hear these things and challenge them. You think Mahaprabhu and the Pancha, they're a bunch of simpletons? Like, they don't understand philosophy. When Sarvabhauma thought, oh, this young sannyasi, 24 years old, so beautiful, so charming, he's prematurely taken sannyas, but once you take sannyas, you have to keep it. And now he's going around singing and dancing and crying in front of the deity. They're throwing him out of the temple. I'll try and help him by teaching him Vedanta. And maybe that'll steady his mind, stop all the crying, give him some substance. Then when we hear, after a few days, Sarvabhauma is saying like, wave or, you know, nod your head. I know this is deep stuff, if you understand what I'm saying. And Mahaprabhu would say, I understand Vedanta perfectly, I just don't understand what you're talking about. Remember, Sarvabhauma is like 80, he's 24. What are you saying? I understand Vedanta. What do you keep talking about? And Sarvabhauma's like, oh, excuse me. Gives 9 explanations of Atmarama. What do you think about that, young man? 9. Different explanations of the Atmaramas. Not one explanation, 9 levels of explanation. Mahaprabhu, oh, well, then what does he do? 18, double, not touching on the 9. Then Sarvabhauma, like, oh, you've come to save me. It's not I who will save you, you're saving me from this scholarly ego. And Sarvabhauma means world-renowned. Means like world-renowned what? Thinker, jnani, knowledgeable. The 24-year-old sannyasi brings him to his knees, praying, oh my Lord, if you've so pleased, reveal your divine form to me. And he shows his Ishwar Murti of Sadbhuj. And then what is Sarvabhauma became? A fanatic for Mahaprabhu. How fanatical is he? He writes 100 slokas in his praise. And the word spreads like wildfire. Did you hear what happened? What happened? The court pundit of the king of Puri is now a follower of Mahaprabhu. No. Yes. Written 100 slokas in his praise. And what does he do with Mahaprabhu? How fanatical is he? He's taken one sloka from the Bhagavatam and changed it. He's changing the Bhagavatam. Like, cross that out, it should say this. So, Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak, the last line. And Mahaprabhu going, what are you doing, Sarvabhauma, changing slokas in the Bhagavatam? Says, Mukti is a horrible thing. Now he hates Mukti is with him. Mukunda, he's so beautiful. Muku, he makes Mukti look ugly. That's how beautiful Krishna is. Makes Mukti look, so he's saying, it should say Bhakti Pade. And Mahaprabhu, yeah, I get your mood, your heart, it's all good, but just leave the Bhagavatam alone. Right? You don't have to start changing what it says there. Just interpret it on a different level. But I appreciate the sentiment. So, jnane prayasamudapasana manteva. Give up trying to know him with your, even, what did David Foster Wallace say with our tiny skull-sized, you know, kingdoms. Your tiny skull-sized kingdom, you're going to conceive the infinite. A fool's errand. Or as Shakespeare might say, a wild goose chase. How? Nayamatma prabhachanena labhyona medaya na bahuna srutena tome vaisha vrinute tena labhyas tashaisha atma vivrinute tanum swam. He reveals himself to whom he chooses, through whom he chooses. The only way to approach him is sharanagati. Is there any amount of knowing that would impress Krishna? But is Krishna going to say, I did not know that? Good point. I did not know that. You're not going to impress him with what you've figured out. Oh, I figured out how you make the universe work. Really? Tell me about it. So, only by surrendering to the higher. What Guru Maharaj said is very, he said, you must touch his heart. How do you touch the heart of Krishna? Not with your intellectual prowess. How to touch, and that, it sounds so simple to say, but really, what a high, to, like when someone says, I'm touched, I'm moved. We see sometimes, even a very big person, some from a child or from some relatively insignificant person, sometimes they express something that touches the heart of a very great person, and they're moved by that, and they're moved to respond. But how to touch the heart of Krishna, really? Is there a way? Nartam Thakur, Asraya Loya Bhaje Tari Krishna Nahi Tyaje. Think, take his devotees, Ahang Bhakta Paradino Hyasvantantra Yivadvija Sarubir Bhakta Hridayo Bhaktar Bhakta Janapriya. Because we're always the great devotees, Krishna's in their hearts. The really great devotees, young Shama Sundaramachandra, you know, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadeva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, young Shama Sundar. Not Paramatma in their heart, Shama Sundar, Krishna. They say, oh, in the hearts of the great devotees. Then what about the heart of Krishna? The great devotees are in the hearts of Krishna. So what is the strategy of the aspiring servitors on the advice of Nartam Thakur and others? They're saying, take shelter of that devotee who is in, already achieved, who's already touched the heart of Krishna. then you'll be included that way. And how to connect with them? Through service. We serve them. We serve the lotus feet of the substantial devotees. And they're in Krishna's heart. They've touched the heart of Krishna. As Krishna's in their hearts, they're in irremovably positioned in the heart of Krishna, enshrined there. So by connect, and they mercifully, they're moving in this world, giving us some opportunity to connect with them through service. So we serve them. All of our hope is there. And the asraya, asraya loya bhaje, sharanagati means taking shelter of the asraya vigraha. Then the heart of Krishna can be touched and moved. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj,
yes.
Besides many, many dandavas were sent today, it's like really many comments. Prithu Prabhu from Lakhta is asking a practical question about Mridanga. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, dandavats, a practical question from Mridanga practitioners. May they practice Mridanga in the time when the Lord is resting after
no.
lunch? All right.
No. Do not practice Mridanga, play the Mridanga while the deities are resting.
Even in another
anywhere.
Deity. Anywhere.
Do not do that.
All right.
Is that clear?
So, Rajeshwari Didi...
They're very sensitive to the Mridanga. Yes.
Suchitra Didi, Ananda Leela, Jai Govinda Prabhu, Dhananjaya Prabhu, Kamala Didi from England, Damodar Priya Das,
don't go up to the deities when they're resting and give Shastanga Dandavats either. They're resting. Go up to where they are and no, they're resting inside. From a distance, you can give like a Panchanga Dandavats. Don't disturb them at that time. They're there to receive their devotees. Don't be sensitive. Like you would a person. If someone's sleeping, right? They're sleeping there. You don't go like, Hari Bol Maharaj, I just wanted to give my dandavat. Like, let them rest. You're like, oh, I'll just bow down from a little distance and later. They're there.